Welcome to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. And brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. Here is your host, Robert Gold.
Once again, from high atop the BusinessCast Podcast Center in Toronto, live and in the morning, we're way off to the west. I can see Standoff, Alberta, and somehow that's fitting. I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto, and this podcast is produced in partnership with Profit Magazine and ProfitGuide.com. Today, we're going to have some fun. Lisa Shepherd is with us. Lisa is the president of the Mezzanine Group and the author of a great new book, The Radical Sales Shift. Lisa, welcome to the Profit Business Cast.
Hi, Robert. Great to be here.
I'm really fascinated about this, the radical sales shift. I love the subtitle, 20 Lessons from 20 Leaders on How to Use Marketing to Grow Sales in B2B Companies. Before we get into it, Lisa, tell us a little bit about yourself and about the Mezzanine Group.
So I started the Mezzanine Group 10 years ago, and I'd had the privilege to be a management consultant before that for about 5 years. And a lot of the work I did when I was consulting was for small and mid-sized business-to-business companies. And I ran the management consulting group at the Ivy Business School where I did my MBA. We worked with a lot of businesses in and around London and southwestern Ontario, and that was the genesis of starting the Mezzanine Group. The Mezzanine Group is an embedded outsourced marketing department service for small and mid-sized B2B companies. And we're about 20 people, and we serve companies all over the GTA.
So how did that evolve into this great book, The Radical Sales Shift?
I spend a lot of my time with owners and operators of small and mid-sized businesses. And over the last, I would say, 3 years, I'm hearing a constant lament from them, and it has to do with their sales departments and their sales teams. They often say something like, we can't find any hunters. I need to hire some hunters to go out there and sell what we sell. That really was what prompted me to start thinking about what's happening out there and why are we seeing this radical sales shift.
So the hunters, gatherers, and what it takes to build a business, is that where we're coming from?
Exactly right. Often what I hear for salespeople is that you've either got hunters or you've got farmers in your organization. And hunters are those people who've got great Rolodexes and they go out into a market and they find customers. It doesn't matter what you sell, if it's a product or a service. Those are the men and women who go out there, find the new customers and bring them back into the business. And every company needs some skills like that. And then, of course, we've all got farmers, the amazing account management people who take care of our existing and past customers, who find new opportunities within businesses. Based on my experience, I would say most CEOs and business owners, they feel like it's easier to find farmers than it is to find hunters.
Do you find that now with, I want to say, the new age sales teams, with the proliferation of tools like LinkedIn and the whole internet, that there's a reticence to actually go out and hunt, to knock on doors, set up calls? Are salespeople being more inbred now? They don't want to get out and hit the road.
I think that's exactly it. And that's really what the radical sales shift is all about. It's both on the doing side, if you will, of that sales activity. I don't see a lot of new people coming into the workforce who have got that orientation up. You know, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to make phone calls, I'm going to network. Maybe I'm just not seeing the right people, but I don't see a lot of that. But I think there's a reason for it. I think the reason that we aren't seeing as much of that activity is it's a lot harder to do that job today than it was 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, it's harder, and it actually seems easier, but it's not easier to be successful at it. It seems so easy because all you have to do is send out some emails and maybe leave a voice message. You know, one thing I learned in sales, every no you get you closer to a yes, but I think that when people don't get emails returned or voicemails returned, they tick them off the list, they move on to the next, and they don't know how to approach sales.
I think you're exactly right. And I think the challenge now is, yes, it's easy to send out emails and it's relatively easy to make phone calls and leave those voicemails. But the problem is it's really easy for emails to get deleted and nobody answers their phone anymore. You know, nobody's got time to have a conversation with a salesperson. So it's harder for salespeople to connect with those new customers.
So let's go into the origin of this book. And I want to go back to something you said a second ago about your inspiration. Why don't you elaborate on that? Why did you actually write this book now?
What I see in small and mid-sized B2B companies is this real challenge on how are they generating revenues. I'm seeing a lot of companies, certainly post-recession, it's a little bit better now in the last few years, but a lot of companies are having stagnating revenues. They're just not getting the growth that they want to see, and their cost of sales is going up. They might have a sales team, and bit by bit, year over year, the performance of that sales team is coming down. Okay, if we know that sales is a tough job and that companies are struggling to find hunters and find good salespeople, what is it that's causing that? So I started to do some research, and I found that a lot of other great companies, great research organizations have done a lot of research too. I'll reference some research that I've seen out of CEB, Corporate Executive Board. And they did a study, it's a few years ago now, they did a study among 1,400 buyers within large organizations, and they found that on average, a buyer completes 57% of their decision process before they will ever call or engage with a salesperson. I find that statistic so powerful. So 57% of a purchase journey is completed before a salesperson ever has a shot at talking with that buyer. You know, how can that be? If I'm a salesperson and I'm waiting for my phone to ring, well, the buyer I'm talking to has already made up their mind more than half of their decision.
Well, I got to tell you, one of the most fascinating chapters in your book, and I've read the whole thing, because in a CA firm, we need to understand why individuals and companies are buying professional services, and there's a whole change to our approach. But your part two, what the new buyer means to selling, and I love the pinball analogy. Can we go through that a little bit?
Well, thank you for that feedback. It's a bit of a new concept, so I'm really happy to hear that it resonates with you. Almost anybody who sells has seen the funnel analogy for how sales happens. And there's a few different definitions at the various stages of the funnel, but it's usually something like at the top of the funnel, you've got awareness, and then you've got familiarity, and then you've got consideration, and then you've got a decision. And typically, what salespeople have been trained on is that a customer comes in at the top, they become aware of your company, they get familiar, they move on to consideration, and then boom, they pop down into decision. What I'm seeing, and the reason I came up with the pinball analogy for the sales process, is I don't think it's as neat and clean as that old funnel. I see so many customers who pop around and bop to different points. They can come from consideration and pop back up to awareness, or then they can move straight from familiarity into a decision. So I think the pinball analogy is a better way of looking at what's going on in a buying or a selling process now, because you'll have customers come on to the pinball platform, if you will, and they can bounce from paddle to paddle. Sometimes you'll have a customer come into your company and maybe they've found you via a search and maybe they are really ready to make a decision. And they can land on your pinball platform and go straight to a decision after talking with you once. But then you can have the other kinds of decisions where a customer might come to an event that you host and then maybe they download a white paper that you've put on your website and that you've emailed to them a few months later. And then maybe they follow you on social media. And the idea is they can bounce around from all of these different points on the pinball landscape before they finally get to decision.
I love the comment in the book that you as the business owner, using again the pinball analogy, you can control the bumpers and the gates. You've actually put them there. The pinball machine itself is not random. Things are fixed. Things will happen in a certain way if a ball or if the customer goes certain ways. But if you look at the analogy, that customer can go anywhere on the play field, but you still control the play field. The bumpers are yours. The pins are yours. The flippers are yours. The ball is them. But you control the play field. So I think it's amazing, amazing analogy. Can we talk about 20 lessons from 20 leaders and how to use marketing to grow sales in B2B companies? Tell us briefly about the leaders and the one or two lessons that you gathered from them.
Sure. The 20 leaders in the book are incredible strategic marketers who are operating in very successful business-to-business companies. Most of them are in the GTA. Some of them are younger in their careers. They might have 10 years of experience. Some have spent 25 or more years in their roles. The reason I identified and interviewed them is I looked at what they are accomplishing in the businesses that they work in. And they have helped their companies navigate from a very traditional Salesforce to exceptionally effective marketing. They shared huge amounts of expertise with me. I was so lucky to get their time. And they work in industries that are right across the board. One of the leaders in the book is the senior vice president for sales and marketing in an extremely large trucking company that's 100 years old. That's Dave Zavitz of Canada Cartage. Right down to some of the marketers who are in smaller agencies and smaller companies who might be less than $10 million in revenue. So a huge breadth of expertise and practical experience.
So drawing on all those guys and women, what are the three things that you would want entrepreneurs and business owners to remember about the book and about those lessons?
I think the first thing I'd like them to remember is that this radical sales shift is occurring, and they need to think about how they structure their sales teams and their marketing function in order to adapt to the new way that buyers are buying. The second thing I'd like them to remember is that they don't have to do it alone. There are some diagnostics in the book that will help them pinpoint what their main issues are and prioritize how they're going to tackle. And then I guess if there's a third thing, it might be actually 20 things of all the 20 lessons in the book. Those are really intended to help owners of small and mid-sized B2B companies and marketers in those companies to be successful in launching their marketing initiatives.
You know, there's another lesson in the book, lesson 5, and this one I take some issue with. Good marketing starts with business acumen. I see a lot of people in our practice, a lot of people in business that don't have the first iota of business acumen. What do you say to them?
Well, I'll talk about why I felt this was a lesson, and I think it's important. I've seen a lot of marketers over the years who don't necessarily have that acumen, and it's dangerous for businesses because marketing is one of those fun and sexy functions within a business. You can do really neat things and launch neat campaigns and have fun events, but unless those initiatives are underpinned with the fundamentals of what drives profitable revenues for the business, then I think you've got a recipe for spending a lot of money and have it not adding up to successful business operations.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Share another lesson with us. That was one that jumped out to me, but share one that you really like.
My favorite lesson in the book is probably lesson number 3, which is don't be the art department. It's related a little bit to what we've just talked about. I do see a lot of companies who hear the word marketing and they think, oh, is that the brochures or the golf balls that you're going to get with our logo on them? And again, in business-to-business companies, in consumer companies too, it's really important for marketing to have an eye on the prize, and the prize is profitable revenue growth. If you're hiring a marketer, I always counsel CEOs that, hey, your marketer should talk about things like ROI and how they're going to drive people to the sales pipeline. If they're focused on what color the logo is, you might not have somebody that is going to be successful in accomplishing the revenue generation that you probably want to accomplish.
So finally, Lisa, I'm really curious. When you were writing this book, this is a terrific book, and I should mention the website is theradicalsalesshift.com, theradicalsalesshift.com. When you were writing it, what did you learn? What did you, Lisa, learn that you hadn't expected to learn?
So I learned 2 things. The first was how generous professionals are. I didn't expect that so many marketing leaders would be willing to spend time and expertise with me. So that was wonderful. The second thing I learned is I learned so much. There were so many specific pieces of advice and tools on getting buy-in for marketing within companies who maybe haven't had marketing in the past, on how you work with sales effectively, and particularly on how do you measure success in marketing, because it's a tough thing to do, but it's vitally important.
How do you measure success in marketing?
Yes, 2 things to keep in mind when measuring success in marketing. The first thing we always look at when we're putting marketing programs together for clients is activities. So when you're a marketer, you need to do certain things. You might need to create blog posts and get them out to your network. You might want to do email newsletters and get them out to your network. You might want to host events. All of those things are activities, and they are a means to an end, but they aren't the end. They should be measured. You need to do a certain volume of activities in order to get the results that you want. So measuring your activities is important. However, as I said, they are the means to the end, and the end is the revenue and the pipeline growth. So 2 metrics that are really important for marketers always to be looking at is is qualified leads. So of all the marketing activities they're doing, how many qualified leads are they generating? And then the second one is revenue. It's actually more difficult to measure the marketing-generated revenue than anyone thinks, because in business-to-business, it's not just one thing that leads to a customer. And Robert, I'm sure you can relate to this, that your customers, some of them have probably been referred to you by other customers, but they may also have heard this business cast and say, oh, you know, I've heard that Robert guy. He sounds like he knows what he's talking about, and I think I'd like to work with him. Maybe they come to your website and they download some content or they read some of the material you've got there. So often in business-to-business, customers are exposed to multiple touch points and multiple factors. It's not just one thing, and that's why marketers in B2B need to have lots of tools in their toolkit.
Again, back to the pinball analogy, and a final thought I want to leave with you, and that goes back to your metrics. You can't manage what you don't measure. So Measure Away, The Radical Sales Shift, great book, theradicalsalesshift.com. Lisa Shepherd, thank you for being a guest on the Profit Business Cast.
Thanks, Robert. It's been great to talk to you.
And until next time, I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold, LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. If you want to talk about radical accounting, you can check us out at bennettgold.ca. You can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. See you next time in the morning, everyone, and good night. Stand off, Alberta.
You've been listening to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's business podcast, and brought to you by Bennett Gold, LLP, Chartered Accountants. From acceleration to succession, strategy to tax planning, there's a lot more through the door at bennettgold.ca.